Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Join us on Thursday as we explore Pet Health and Homeopathy, a show co-hosted by Homeopathy World Community founder and homeopath Debbie Bruck, and Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, author and homeopath Christina Chambreau. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your questions. Let's go!
Okay, we're online today. I'm Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community, speaking with our co-host, Dr. Christina Chambreau, doctor of veterinary medicine. Today is October 13th, 2011, and we are so fortunate to have you with us each week to guide us through the typical pet problems, whether we're talking specifically about homeopathy or whether we're just talking about general health and well-being of our pets, our animals, and our home environment as well. You know, we have prepared to talk about fleas today, something that really causes me to think about itching. And and I'm hoping that the folks out there will follow our show, will tweet it out to their friends and put it on their Facebook, share it, and you can even save today's show and put the widget onto your website, onto your blog, and share it with your friends and those people who want to learn more about taking care of their animals. Christina, you are a veterinary doctor of veterinary medicine, internationally known author and speaker, and you've got a couple of books out there. Healthy Animals Journal, which was published in 2003. You graduated from the University of Georgia Veterinary Medicine, Veterinary College in 1980. And you began using homeopathy in your practice just 3 years later. And then now you're primarily using homeopathy for quite a number of years. And you could just tell us a little bit about that, and then we're going to get into our pets.
Well, I started using homeopathy just in a very conventional manner. A veterinarian who had studied with Dr. George McLeod for 2 days sent me some remedies for bladder problems, and I gave it to a cat. It was Urtica urens and Cantharis, and I don't actually remember if I gave one or both, but whatever, I did it for about a week, and this cat who'd been on antibiotics for 3 years was off antibiotics for the next 9 months that I was at that practice. So that was the hook from the sky telling me that this was something I needed to explore. And then I studied more with Dr. McLeod and then went on from there to study with Paul Herskew and Dr. Pitcairn and many others.
Right.
Messer, and I started teaching at the National Center for Homeopathy Summer School, helping out with teaching repertory. And then Karen Allen, I read Karen Allen's book, A Repertory, A Homeopathic Tutorial, and I told her that she must have been listening to my lectures because she used the same jokes that I did and the same phraseology. So when she did her second edition, she asked me if I'd like to put in an animal section. And so for every section of this tutorial of how to use the repertory, I have animal examples and animal rubrics and animal evaluation of response. So it's really an excellent co-authorship.
But okay, you did that book with Karen?
Karen Allen,
Okay, and so
that's
people
the second edition.
People can get that book from going to your website. Amazon, or
yeah.
Where else they get it.
And National Center for Homeopathy is a good one to support.
Okay, and I
you
wanted
can get
to
books
just,
from them.
Let me just mention to the folks listening that the National Center for Homeopathy this week is doing a huge campaign to ask people to join their membership, and there is a link on Homeopathy World Community, a big banner on the front page, just to go to their website if you're looking for how to find them.
Okay. And that's very important. I want to emphasize that because most of the Homeopathy Today magazines that come out once a month have an article on animals in them, often on wildlife or poultry, or could be dogs or cats. So it's really important to have to become members to support that. They're always paying attention to what's happening in the news, what needs to be done to support and grow homeopathy. So definitely I encourage people to do that. It took me a few years after I started with homeopathy before I really became holistic. And so that's something that's very important. We're talking about fleas today, and when you look at fleas from a holistic standpoint, healthy animals just will not get fleas. And to broaden this even a little more, I was looking at Glenn Dupree's book. He has a great book, Homeopathy in Organic Livestock Production.
Right.
And he said he's more talking about internal parasites like worms, but it can also be ectoparasites like fleas. And he's saying, let's not just think about killing the parasite. Let's think about what is the parasite telling us. And in herds or flocks, he said you can see that, and this is even true if you have three or four animals at home or four or five kids at home. If one animal is getting the parasites or the fleas, then you're looking at something, that animal is weaker. And in a herd situation, you may want to cull that animal or not breed it again. In a kennel situation where you're breeding dogs or cats, you would want to maybe not breed that animal until you've gone through another year of not getting fleas. And if everybody in the household is getting fleas, then there's something going on wrong with general management, general nutrition. Something else is missing. So it's a different way. I like how he talks about thinking about parasites as opposed to just immediately jumping in and saying, what can we do to kill them?
Right. Okay, so what
now
can
we do? So the point he's making there and that I'm making and all other books on animal homeopathy make is that fleas are only attracted to ill animals. Now, that doesn't mean that a very healthy animal can't get a few fleas. Certainly, if you go into a rental house on the beach that hasn't had anybody there for a week and the people before had dogs or cats with fleas, your dog's going to get some fleas. But one bath and they're gone, or one flea combing and they're gone. They're not going to be persistent, and they're not going to cause allergies. So a few fleas you cope with just with hygiene, just with flea combing. But when you start seeing more fleas, then you have to say, my dog isn't well. And at this point, you then look at, what is it going to take to make this dog healthy? Now, a lot of people with homeopathy would immediately reach for a homeopathic remedy to get rid of the fleas. But again, as Glenn talked about, that's not the approach. The approach you want is, what homeopathic remedy do I need to give my dog or cat to have them become healthy? And there are a few rubrics in the repertory that you could use as part of that. You'd look at the emotional state of the animal, historical problems, any other medical problems going on, and then you could look at skin lousiness. You could look at skin itching as skin itching like flea bites. You could, and that's if they're itching from the fleas. If they're not itching from the fleas, then you can't use skin itching. You could use skin stings of insects.
Okay, so now are these actual things that you see your animal doing? Because there's also specific rubrics in the repertory that deal with how we feel. That do we feel itchy? And it's even a delusion, is there not?
Right. Yes. You, Deborah, put together a whole list of wonder of basically, if you do a search on your computer for fleas, you come up with some that clearly don't apply to animals. So things like mind delusions, imagination of fleas, and here's a great one: mind dreams, cats, felines, outside. They have to freeze because of fleas, and that's ozone.
Wow.
So there certainly are some interesting rubrics when you do a search like that. But the bottom line is, with fleas, it's mostly building up the overall health of the animal. Now, and I went through some of my favorite veterinary homeopathy books, John Saxton, George McLeod, Christopher Day, Glenn Dupree, Don Hamilton, Adjo Westerhuis, Edward DeBucular. These are all animal veterinary homeopathy books. And most of them, half of them didn't even talk about using remedies for fleas. It didn't even talk about fleas. And only two of them mentioned Pulex, which some people give to prevent fleas. But Pulex is made from the human flea, whereas the dog and the cat flea are Cynocephalides, and I'm sure I'm not saying that right, but it's spelled C-T-E-N. And Adjo Westerhuis has made a tonic, quote, a combination homeopathic remedy that has, he actually made, took that flea, the dog flea, and made a remedy from it and combined it with one he made from dust mites and the Staphylococcus
bacteria,
right, and lead them.
Okay, so now who created that?
A guy in Holland.
Okay.
But then he went ahead, and as he listed the different types of animals you see fleas in, he basically said this probably won't work for them. So he contradicted himself on it.
Would we consider that?
I would never think of using that.
Okay.
I'm sort of mentioning it to show the silliness of it.
Okay.
Maybe
other people don't think it's silly. Why is it silly? Maybe that needs to have an explanation.
Well, again, only one out of all of those books even mentioned trying to use an isode for this.
Mm-hmm.
One mentioned that Pulex has been reported to improve resistance, and the others didn't even talk about Pulex. And so that would be another isode type, although Pulex has been proved. So the problem with these is they haven't been proved. Leadum, of course, has been, but the others haven't been proved. You have no idea what they do. If you give that repeatedly and start seeing a heart problem, is it because you were giving the remedy? Or is it because the dog was going to develop a heart problem anyway?
Okay.
So you don't want to give unproved remedies. That's the bottom line in homeopathy. And the other bottom line of homeopathy is the whole premise of homeopathy is like cures like. Right?
Right.
And so if a dog has fleas but no symptoms, then how can you find a remedy for them?
That's a good question.
You can't.
If you see the fleas jumping around on them,
then what you do is several things. Number one, you have to treat the house, the yard, and the dog or cat. Number two, part of treating the dog or the cat is to say, this animal is not healthy, and you take the whole case and you find a remedy which may have nothing to do with lousiness, it may have nothing to do with any of the flea rubrics, but you find the remedy that matches this animal. And then once you treat the animal and the animal is healthy again, they won't have fleas. You may have to part of what has this animal be unhealthy may be vaccines. Maybe they haven't had fleas for the last 2 years. You did the rabies vaccine this year without doing anything to prevent problems from it, and now the dog has fleas. So then you would include in your repertorization problems from vaccines under generalities. So, but in
Can I ask you a question? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's say that you're in a family, in a household where the pet itself has fleas, you notice them, they're probably jumping around or whatever, and it's obviously, you're aware of it. It's bothering you as the owner. So, and it doesn't appear to be bothering the pet. So do we need to treat the person?
No, obviously not. It's normal. Do we treat people because they're bothered because they see somebody hit by a car and killed? No, that's a normal response. You
uh-huh.
don't treat people in homeopathy for what's normal. You don't treat a person because they're sweet and nice.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
if you see fleas and you're upset that you see fleas, there's no reason to treat you. Now, you might want to take some rescue remedy just to take the edge off. Now, on the other hand, if somebody in the house has sees two or three fleas and goes, oh, my God, I have to leave this house. I cannot come back for another 3 months. I want you to report that there have been no fleas for 3 months before I come back in. Well, that's over the edge.
Mm-hmm.
That person needs treatment. But I expect that would show up in other areas and not just around fleas. Now, we only have half an hour today, so we need to move into... So the bottom line is homeopathy doesn't really treat fleas. It'll treat illnesses caused from fleas. But what do we do for the fleas? Number one is stay away from the chemical, all the chemical flea treatments recommended by the veterinarians. Do not have your dog or cat on a monthly advantage program, stuff like that. Because I see animals get ill, not the first time necessarily, not the second time. It could be the fifth time it's given they get ill. I saw that this summer at a friend's house, actually a relative's house. So get out the flea comb. That's the most important thing. If you have ever seen fleas in your house, you want to use a flea comb on a regular basis. If your dog or cat starts itching, then you sit down and do a really good flea combing and look for flea dirt, which is black and gritty like coffee grounds, but when you get it wet, it turns red. Dogs and cats can itch from 100 different reasons. Just because they're itching doesn't mean they have fleas. So you want to make sure you know what you're treating before you're treating it. So if you find fleas and flea dirt, then number one, step up the flea treatment on the flea combing on the dog or cat. But more importantly is you know at that point that it's in the environment. So then you need to treat the yard and the house. And those are, if you do that, then your animal is like the monitor for you to see if you've successfully eradicated the fleas in the environment. Unless an animal is covered with fleas or covered with flea dirt, a bath isn't needed, especially for cats who really don't like baths. If you have a dog who loves getting a bath, go ahead and give him a bath. But that's not the most important. Or if you have a dog with a very thick coat, you found a flea or two, and you can't really flea comb this dog, that would be one to do a bath with. It doesn't really matter what shampoo you use as long as it's a gentle one. Lather it up. Let it sit for 15 minutes while you scrub and massage the skin and the fur, looking to see how many fleas are here. And then you rinse really well. And then you finish with one of the many flea treatment holistically that's out there, like a lemon juice rinse or a cider vinegar rinse, different things that might help ward off some fleas on the animal. But again, most importantly is the house and the yard. In the yard, there's a wonderful product made by several different companies where they've genetically engineered some bugs to only eat flea larvae. they will not eat your good worms. If you put diatomaceous earth on your yard, it'll kill the good and the bad. So you want to pick something that's targeted specifically for fleas. Now, another possibility if you're dealing with fleas and ticks would be to use a product called Cedar Side. And it's fairly expensive. It's using the oil from the cedar tree, and I haven't really checked the environmental sustainability, like where are they getting the oil? Are they cutting down cedar trees to do this? I don't think so. I think it's a byproduct. But just to be on the safe side, it's something we should check out. Dr. Rammelmeyer, who's a colleague of mine who's very environmental, and she's a homeopathic veterinarian, she had ticks in her yard. And she's had Lyme disease repeatedly, so she really didn't want them around. She used Cedar Side and sprayed a barrier zone around the edge of her yard. She didn't spray it everywhere. And that kept the ticks from coming into her yard, and her cats did not have not been getting ticks. It lasted for about 2 or 3 months, and then she had to respray. So Cedar Side or the nematodes, or particularly if you have a good sense of the spirit of living in harmony with all things. There's this wonderful book by J. Allen Boone called Kinship with All Life, and it's just wonderful. And so if you can sit and communicate with the fleas and ask them nicely to leave your yard, you might be able to get rid of them that way. If you're using flower essences, like Green Hope Farms has one called Flea, F-L-E-E, Free. And Flea Free is totally 100% safe. And in their instructions, they say use it however you want. So you could use it by putting it a few drops in water in a mister and walk around your yard and say, fleas, please, please flee from my yard. You could do the same thing in your home. You can give it orally to the dog or cat. You can put a little bit on your hands and just rub the etheric body or a little bit on the hair of the dog or the cat. So flower essences can be excellent, because you can use them. You never have to worry about a negative effect. They can be given 4 to 6 times a day for weeks or months at a time. Another company is Spirit Essences, and Spirit Essences has one called Para Out of Sight. And Para Out of Sight is good for internal parasites as well as external parasites. And some have reported some success even with preventing like heartworm or other blood parasites.
These are essences, flower essences that people can use to spray in their home, in the misted in the air, or like a cleanser, in the yard, on their pet, or just put it
and
on your
internally.
Hand.
And internally.
Okay, really nice.
So it can be put on every meal, put a drop in a bowl of water. Anytime you're using flower essences in the home on a regular basis, if you want to put it in a water bowl, that's great, but you also want to provide a water bowl in a different room or away from that water bowl for them to drink their water from. You don't want to deprive them of drinking water if they know they don't want to take that flower essence.
Okay.
Or homeopathic remedy if you're using the fifth or sixth edition of the Organon in terms of your prescribing methods. Now, internally, by feeding a better diet, your animals are much less likely to get fleas. And so this is the time, if you're seeing fleas or any other parasites, this is the time to really gear up feeding the best diet that you know for your dog or cat, which for most dogs or cats is raw meat and pureed vegetables. And garlic, fresh garlic, garlic and brewer's yeast, Pet Guard's garlic and brewer's yeast tablets. All of these are ones that can eliminate, they cleanse the blood and put an odor on the skin so that fleas are just not attracted. There's a wonderful book by Chip Sammons, and I can't remember the whole the exact title of it, but it's The Sex Life of Fleas.
Oh, yes. Do you have, are all of these resources in your handout?
They are. All of them are in the handout.
Okay. So people can get all of this stuff, right, in one place conveniently in the handout?
Everything that I've talked about is in there.
Okay. And a lot more.
And a lot more. And so what Chip talks about in his book is wonderful. It starts about Francie the fetching flea and Freddie, who comes from 20 light years away, i.e. three houses away. And Freddie comes because his owner, the owners of the dog he's been living on, have started feeding a fresh food diet, and now the blood tastes great, and so he can't stand it anymore. It's healthy blood, and fleas only like sick blood. Now, I've had a number of my clients this year, in the last week, be struggling with fleas, even though they're feeding a raw food diet. But all of these are animals that are having some health challenges in other ways. They're having a urinary tract problem or an ear problem. And so the fleas weren't there until the vital force got weak and started dealing with this issue, and then the fleas came in. So I haven't had anybody call me who's a completely healthy, doing fine, and loaded with fleas. So that's, fleas are a key, again, that the animal is not feeling as good as they can.
So that's a good sign that people should be aware of, that it's not something that's just external that they caught, but it is actually an indication that the pet needs special care. And we have about 2 minutes left. So is there something special you want to tell them about fleas? Do we want to talk again about fleas in another show or move on to something else next
time? No, we're actually going to move on. I think the next show we should talk about, we may want to start addressing combinations of things, but we only, since we're doing half-hour shows, the next one we'll talk briefly about hypothyroidism and the role of nutrition with hypothyroidism, as well as the homeopathic remedies that can be used for it. So we'll start bringing in nutrition into each talk while we talk about different things, rather than doing a completely separate non-homeopathic talk on nutrition. But the bottom line, guys, is no vaccines and feed fresh food as much as you can, and your dog will be less likely, dogs and cats will be much less likely to have fleas. My cat has had no fleas this summer. He's had ticks. As soon as I see a tick, I immediately put on a little bit of rose geranium oil, which he dislikes intensely, and then I see no more ticks for the next month or two. I think it's been about 2 months. So look for health. That's how to prevent yourself from having fleas.
Okay, so don't forget to comb your animals, and we're going to sign off and say thank you so much, Dr. Shambro. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
All right, bye now.
Thank you for listening to Pet Health and Homeopathy on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio with homeopaths Debbie Brook and Dr. Christina Shambro. We encourage you to follow our show, click the reminder button to receive email notices when show airs, share with friends on Facebook and Twitter, and send in your comments and questions. See you next time!